The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Of course, I am the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith, and we're joined by my partner in crime, the fire, the king of the cocks, Robbie Bernstein, from his new place. Looking nice. I like it.
Dude, this is, I mean, you see how I'm in a room here? This is how incredible this place is. It's got another room.
There's like one more?
It's like a studio apartment with a full another bedroom. It's unbelievable. Look at all this open space.
That's called a one bedroom, Rob.
No. This is more than a one bedroom. It's a place that comes with a bedroom. It's so much more, Dave. I don't know if you're getting it.
That is such a, what a poor mentality to have. You go, it's like a studio apartment with two bedrooms attached to it. Like, Rob, I think that's a, you know, it's like three apartments stacked on top of each other in its own isolated location. Rob, I think you're describing a house.
No, I got a full room here and another room and a little bit of a porch. It overlooks
a porch.
It's got a nice view of garbage dumpsters from the Domino's pizza. What more could you need in life?
Oh, there's a Domino's right nearby.
Oh, I share a parking lot with the Domino's. You can eat as much Domino's as you want.
Oh my God. This is the next year of Part of the Problem is just going to be watching Rob get enormously fat. It's just going to be a lot of people listening to the audio are going to hear a lot of licking fingertips while you make points about economics. You know, this debt is really out of control. And then I get, you guys hand me that zesty sauce? What is Domino's doesn't have zesty sauce?
No, but they got ranches, they got buffaloes, they got all sorts of exotic stuff going on.
Dude, when I was in college in that shit little town where I went to college, there was nothing that was open at night. And I'm a New York
Late
City
night.
Guy.
Yeah.
And I it would drive me crazy. The only thing, Domino's stayed open until midnight and like everything, it was the only game in town. And so like I remember like 11:55 ordering Domino's, and you'd be so happy to get that Domino's. Also in college, you can just take, like you can take eating like shit. Like nowadays, if I eat like shit, I pay for it for the next 2 days. But in college, you just pack it away and like never even think about it again. But yeah, I remember that late night Domino's was just the fucking, it was the best. When you were hungry and nothing, there was no other game in town, and you were like, fuck it. And they always had, you know, you'd find some like deal, and you'd be like, give me 16 pizzas for $9 or whatever, and just fucking me and my college buddies just fucking pounding it away.
And you're like, the toppings are free. I'll take all the toppings. Whatever you'll throw on that thing, I'll eat it.
Dude, that was the, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, just like, well, what do you have? Put it on there. I remember that being the thing that I just could not adjust to about being in this shit town. Because I went from, you know, like living in New York City my entire life to being in Oneonta, like this tiny little town. And I mean, maybe not by tiny town standards, but by New York City standards, it's shit. And I remember if it was like, you know, if you called, if it was 12:01, Domino's wasn't answering their phone anymore, and there's just nothing. There's nothing open. And I remember being, you know, because I was an idiot. I was like 19. And so I wouldn't like plan ahead. And I'd just like be like, oh shit, I forgot to eat dinner or whatever, you know? And I'm starving at midnight and there's nothing in my fridge. And it was just like, well, then you can't eat. That's just, that's life.
I got no choice but to drink more on an empty stomach. You leave me no choice here.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the drinking, you know, didn't really, that wasn't, you know, affected by any of it, but it would be just like, I'm hungry. And it'd be like, well, there's nothing open. And as a New York City kid, you're like, well, what do you mean there's nothing open? There has to be something open. I'm willing to walk five blocks. You know, like that's New York City. There's always something open. And that was just so foreign to me. And I just, oh my God, it was the worst. I just hated it so much. That feeling, oh, it still stays with me. Just being starving and going to bed. And, you know, I'm using the term starving. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but hungry.
Dude, when you're used to New York City and you're in some small town and it's closed late at night, it's hard to even wrap your head around it.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays as an adult, it's a little different. You know, you like have a stocked refrigerator and you fucking plan ahead and shit. And I also eat dinner like at a normal time with my family. But when I was a kid, it was like, I don't know. I was fucking playing Madden. I forgot to have dinner, you know, or studying. Yeah, that really wasn't what I was doing. Okay, so... anyway, let's get into some things on this show. There was a couple things that I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to address some things about the Libertarian Party and my relationship to the Libertarian Party, because I saw, you know, I've been, obviously, as everyone who listens to the show knows, I've been pretty critical of Joe Jorgensen over the last week or so. And
I'm working on being actively gay and black to show my support, because it's not enough to show your support. You got to actively be these things.
Yeah. Oh, you're taking it in a different direction than me. And
I got to get some melanin, apparently. I didn't even know that that was a thing. But if you want to be a human being, you need your melanin.
Yeah, well, that is true. Or at least if you want to be a Jew. It turns out you're not even a Jew. You're nothing that you thought you were.
They can have it. I don't know why they want that one so bad.
It's been a rough week, okay? Rob has found out that he's a racist, he's subhuman, and he's not even a Jew. He can't even hang his hat on that anymore. That's a lot to take away from someone in the span of 7 days. So it's really robbed of your identity. So anyway, I was posting, you know, I've posted a few times in the Mises Caucus Facebook group, because I like to kind of, you know, if I see the Libertarian Party fucking up or the caucus fucking up, I like to kind of let them know what I think. And I love those guys and I get a lot of support in that group. And Facebook, I appreciate
still the best platform for discourse. So
yeah. Well, I mean, compared to what? Compared to Twitter? Yeah, probably. So there were a few people who seemed to respond to me and, that were like, oh, so Dave's announced that he's not supporting the Libertarian ticket anymore. There were some people who seemed to think that I'm supporting Trump, which I'm not sure exactly how people got that impression. I mean, I did say on the Malice podcast, I said the one thing that pushes me toward supporting Trump is how much I hate the Democrats. But I didn't, let me just correct the record, if that, I didn't intend for that to be misleading. So I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I can't vote for someone who's conducted the war in Yemen for their 4 years. I'm sorry. I mean, there's some reasonable lines that you just can't cross and expect me to support you. And, you know, presiding over a genocide to me is one of those lines that no matter what else you do.
I was clear on Kanye, but the fucker bailed. Right after I get out of here, I throw my support behind him. I get excited and he just bailed right out.
Yeah, that's it's really disappointing. I know that was rough. On top of finding out you're a racist, animal, non-Jew, also Kanye bailing was just, it's been a horrific week for Rob Bernstein, everybody.
And Caitlin said that she still wants the gig. She said she still wants to be vice president. She wants to bring her big old hog to the White House. And I still want to see that happen.
I mean, honestly, that would, just for the headlines alone, I would support
the world's
that
most
move.
Inclusive ticket. You got a black dude and a lady?
A black dude and a lady and a dude all rolled into one.
Everybody.
Everything you need. So anyway, I also have not decided that I'm not voting for Joe Jorgensen. I honestly don't know. I'm kind of up in the air about whether or not they'll get my vote. There's some things that I like about Joe And there's been some things lately that I'm that really bother me. And truthfully speaking, my attitude with voting and what it's always been is that I don't really think it means a lot. I live in a blue state that's going to go blue. There, it's not a competitive state. It doesn't mean anything. I just don't like see a tremendous amount of value, particularly someone in my situation. It would mean a lot more to Joe Jorgensen if I were to just actively support her than vote for her. You know what I mean? Like the vote really doesn't mean nearly as much as the fact that I have a big platform with a lot of people who, you know, I'm somewhat influential over, and that I can, if I were just making compelling arguments. So as far as voting and just really supporting somebody, I feel like there's got to be something that I see that's valuable there. Now, for like Tom Woods used to make this point about Ron Paul, and I thought I completely agree with him, where there'd be some libertarians who are like, I don't believe in voting. And Tom would be like, okay, so you have this guy, this older man who's like in his 70s, who's traveling all around the country. He's sleeping on fucking hotel beds instead of sleeping at home. He's away from his family. He's doing all of this to spread the message of liberty, and he's taking on everybody and being unfairly attacked by all these different people. And you can't take an hour out of your day to go vote for that guy because he's doing all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, and that completely makes sense to me. The idea that, like, if somebody is sacrificing so much and being effective and they're a true champion for your beliefs, yeah, take an hour out of your day and go fucking vote for the person. So I get that. But in order to get my vote, I got to really believe in you and what you're doing. And in order for me to support a libertarian, someone running on the Libertarian Party, I got to believe that this is for something and can actually influence people. Now, go ahead.
We're becoming the ultra left party. We're going to become the all-inclusive people who speak to the ultra-left, identity politics, and make sure that everyone feels included, and that if you're not actively taking stances towards inclusion, then you're clearly being excluded. I don't know if that's even English anymore, because this whole landscape makes no sense to me. That's the ultimate in censorship. If you don't swear your allegiance with us, you're clearly on the side of evil. I hate that shit more than anything.
And a very vague, you have to do something. We must be actively anti-racist. What exactly do you define that as? I know a whole lot of people define that as some pretty anti-liberty shit. So
what happened to principles of fairness and growing the economy for everybody so everyone can make money and live well? Let's not get lost in the fucking bullshit.
So this is my thing. It's like, if I see Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen running a campaign that I think is principled and uncompromising, and I think has the ability to convert people, the truth is that with this stuff, with that tweet that Joe Jorgensen has, and how this has gotten more attention than anything else she's done right now, for me to be like, hey, people, you got to take a look at this Joe Jorgensen lady, it would just be an embarrassment. They would take a look at her and go, oh yeah, this is the same bullshit that I'm hearing from the entire corporate press, from all of Hollywood, from all of academia, from all of like the Black Lives Matter supporters. It's like, what is this going to do? So I am still open. Listen, I grant that they are a lot better than Trump or Biden is. And there are some issues that Joe Jorgensen's really good on. But she's just, I'm still paying attention. She's got to convince me. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath uses moisture wicking technology to create underwear that keeps everything breathable and incredibly comfortable downstairs. Sheath's smart underwear comes in a number of different styles, including a brief with a dual pouch. It just makes everything feel good. Goes where it's supposed to. I was a little skeptical about it at first. Let me tell you, it's the best underwear I've ever owned in my life. They're really high quality. Go get a pair. You're going to be like me. You're going to end up getting 10 more pairs because they're high quality, incredibly comfortable. Sheath underwear was invented by a soldier while serving in Iraq, where, as you can imagine, things tend to get pretty hot and sticky. He developed the prototype in Iraq and raised money on Kickstarter to launch Sheath. And now they're right here supporting our show. So make sure you go support them as well. The bottom line is Sheath creates amazing underwear. If you don't love them, they have a 100% money back guarantee off your first pair. Plus, they have an amazing line of women's underwear as well. So to go get your new favorite pair of underwear, go to sheathunderwear.com and use the promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. They ship anywhere in the world. That's sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. Now, as far as the Libertarian Party goes, I feel like a lot of what happens in different circles in the Libertarian Party, and this is just me speculating, I don't know for sure, but I feel that a lot of it is done specifically to drive our people out of the party. Like, they want to do these things to make it like this is hopeless and we're leaving, and that really motivates me to stay and to take over. And the truth is that we've only been doing this project for a very short amount of time. It's really only been a year that I've been actively, you know, supporting the Libertarian Party. Like, I had a presidential nominee who I was pushing for. Now, Jacob Hornberger didn't end up winning, but he came damn close. The Mises Caucus didn't get their presidential candidate and they didn't get their chair candidate, but they came damn close. And I'm like, no, you know what? Instead of walking away, I'm just going to redouble my efforts. I'm going to be a lot more serious about finding candidates who I support next time around. And I'm going to encourage people a lot more once I find those candidates to really get behind them. I'm still down with the Mises Caucus cause. I think I love Michael Heiss. I talk to that guy often. And I think he's like, I think he's like right focused where he should be. So I'm not leaving because so the former chair will tweet out something stupid. I'm like, that's just handing it over to them. And why should we do that when we're winning? Fastest growing caucus. We're literally, I mean, like the reason Meacocks why
will ride again.
That's right. The Meacocks will rise again. That's why. But it's the reason why there's all this fucking shit coming at us is because they're scared of the fact that if this momentum continues, it's not even a question that the Mises Caucus will take over the party. They've already become the most dominant, the most passionate, the most active caucus in the Libertarian Party. So I'm not going anywhere. And truthfully speaking, a lot of the kind of people coming at me, let's say, never really started coming at me until I was actively in the Libertarian Party and pushing candidates and things like that. And so that, just my personality type, if they think they're going to come at me like that and I'll go, well, this is hopeless, I'm going to leave. Like, no, fuck you. Now I'm going to stay and fucking take over. So that's where I'm at with this whole thing. However, let me also make this clear. I am not, you know, because people were like, and by the way, I should say, the vast majority of people that I have interacted with are, you know, pretty supportive of what I'm saying on all this stuff. But a few people were like, I don't get it, Dave. Like, what's your end goal here? You've criticized Joe Jorgensen four times this week or something like that. Like, aren't you for the Libertarian Party? And it's like, well, yeah, I am, but I'm not just going to blindly support everything the Libertarian Party does. And I'm not just going to bite my tongue when I see them fucking up. I'm going to stay
here. Not just that, they're now pushing the absolute worst thing in our culture, which is if you don't swear allegiances to these weird things, then you're inherently evil. No, we're on the side of critical thinking, of independent thoughts. Like, there's literally nothing in the entire political landscape that I hate more. And now you've defined our political party around that. So no.
Yes. And the whole reason I'm here and not with the Republican Party is because I don't just swear allegiance to a party. If I was just like, oh, no matter what the party says, even if they say something that I detest, I'll bite my tongue about it and just support the party, like that, then I wouldn't be in the Libertarian Party. this goes back to the whole like debate that I had with Sarwak, which was why his point was just so stupid. Like he was saying that if Dick Cheney runs, I should vote for him, or if Adolf Hitler runs, I should vote for him because they're in our party. Because the whole point of the Libertarian Party is that you care about principles, not just about party. If you just cared about party, you'd go with one of the ones that can actually win. We're over here because we're like, no, these two parties have sold out their principles, or just don't have any principles, and so we're going to do a different party where there might be some. And the reason why I'm staying with the Libertarian Party is because there's still a much better shot at actually getting them to be a party of principle than there is the Democrats or the Republicans. But I'm not going to stop speaking my mind. Number one, I don't think that's helpful. Number two, I don't want to. And number three, that's all I bring to the table. Like, if I don't do that, then what value do I have? I mean, like, that's the whole reason why all you guys listen to this show is because I tell you the truth as I see it. If I don't do that, what the fuck is the point of it? Then I'm just like a political animal. I'm like a fucking some type of political, you know, organizer or something. Like, I'm not good at that. I'm just good at telling the truth.
Here's what we got to do, Davey Smith. For next year, well, it's actually not going to be next year. I guess it's going to be in 4 years from now. We'll create the Meat Cocks Rise again. We'll have the slogan, no more fairy shit. And that's what we're going to ride on. No more fair, like the Federal Reserve, that's fairy shit. We're getting rid of it. This leftist liberal stuff, that's fairy shit. We're getting rid of it. We'll go down to that fucking convention. We'll throw comedy shows. We'll bring the whole gang down, all the listeners. We'll get those fuckers to vote. And we'll get rid of this old guard of, you know, of assholes.
There we go. There's the fucking there we go. There's the plan. At least that's the rough outline of the plan.
The Meat Cocks Rise again. We'll just actually show up. That's all we got to do. We didn't show up last time. We're like, you know what? You guys have this under control. There's this fake virus thing. We're going to hang out in Jersey, but fuck that. Next time we'll actually show up. Fans will come cuz we'll put on some gigs, and that's it. They will lose.
There we go. So we're fucking, you know, I am redoubling down my efforts. I'm still supporting the Mises Caucus. I'm still supporting the LP, but I'm also going to slap them around when they need it. The way a good big brother would. If you're fucking acting like a fairy, you're going to get a couple slaps across the face until you straighten out. So there you go. That's the plan. Now, in that spirit, I'm not going to stop being critical of Joe Jorgensen for that dumbass fucking tweet, which don't get me twisted. I don't think it was done. First of all, I don't think Joe Jorgensen tweeted it. That's number one. But that's not a good excuse. That's not a good excuse. In fact, that might be even worse. Like, you got to be in control of the messaging of your campaign, right? You're running for president and you're like, trying to spread these ideas. You got to be aware of something that's going to cause this much, you know, outrage.
Donald Trump, bad president, but he writes his own tweets. At least he's got dignity to show up on Twitter and speak his own mind.
That is a great point. Nobody's ever even had the thought that somebody else might be writing Trump's tweets.
Wouldn't that be great if he did have a writer's room and he didn't write any of them?
What if they just came to him like one day and they were like, Donald Trump, you tweeted so-and-so. He goes, I don't have a Twitter. What? What's Twitter? And they're just like, sir, you've tweeted 500,000 times in the last few years. I don't even own a computer. I don't know what you're talking about. I read novels and just that. Okay, so in this spirit, I am going to continue to be critical. And like I said, that was a dumb ass tweet. I don't think Joe Jorgensen is a secret Marxist or like some shit like that. It's just dumb ass fucking pandering, and some idiot on our campaign thought it was a good idea, or possibly someone on our campaign is not a big fan of, let's say, our types and our influence on the Libertarian Party, and wanted to piss us off. I think that's possible too.
I think the wanted to piss us off is really interesting, but also appealing to this ultra left base is what just destroyed the Democratic Party. So let's not look at the trends in society and go, hey, if I appeal to this group of people with the gender, identity, whatever the fuck your college terms are for what these idiots are doing, whatever that whole thing is, let's not try and appeal to them. Let's not make that the base of the party or what our platform is. We've got better ideas.
It's the worst
group to help everybody. Appeal.
Yes, I agree with you. This is not the type of thing you say when you have actual ideas, and they're the worst group to try to appeal to. they will return the, you know, they will have the least returns of any
point group. Point of privilege.
Yeah. That's not where we're going to find our home. Okay. So, one of the other things that I've had a few people, say to me is that I didn't, address her follow-up tweet. Which she of course had a follow-up tweet because there was, you know, she opened up this shitstorm with her dumbass initial tweet. So first off, when I recorded the first episode, about it, she hadn't responded yet. It was right after she had the initial tweet, or at least I hadn't seen it yet. I think it happened while I was recording. So that's why I didn't respond to it then. I think I briefly mentioned it with Malice on one of those episodes, but her follow-up tweet and the Libertarian Party, the official page, also, you know, tweeted a follow-up tweet, which was that, you know, something like, because I guess they got flooded with a lot of people, like, you know, pointing out that the Black Lives Matter, the organization, is run by Marxists who are straight up, like, call themselves trained Marxists and are pushing, like, a communist agenda, and that's not very libertarian. And so she followed up by saying, supporting Black Lives Matter does not mean that I support any organization with ties to Marxists. It means that I support the movement. Okay, so people were saying that I didn't address that tweet, and the problem is that that tweet sucked. That was a terrible cover. So what? First of all, it's like you're going to say, okay, I don't support the organization. I support the movement that's named after the organization. I think we can all see what the problems with that are. I mean, if there was like a fucking, you know, some organization with a bunch of Nazis, and then a movement came up and called themselves the same name and also had a bunch of Nazis in it, and also, you know, was doing all this other shit, I think people would be like, yeah, I don't really want to split hairs here between the movement. This is all kind of problematic, to borrow the leftist language. But the problem with that, of course, is, right, if you say you don't, like, first of all, the tweet was vague as shit. What do you mean by racism? What do you mean by anti-racism? What do you mean by Black Lives Matter? Like, what is it? What do you mean by we must? It's just so unclear that it was almost designed to create all of these problems for her. So it was stupid as much as anything else. But to say, okay, I don't support the organization, the Marxist organization, but I do support the movement. It's like, okay, well, what do we count as the movement? I mean, you're saying the people in the streets? Okay, well, there have been legitimately peaceful protesters out there, okay? There have also been riots in cities across the country, also calling themselves Black Lives Matter. The vandalism, I mean, drive through New York City, the shit that's spray painted on top of all these like little businesses is Black Lives Matter.
And they killed kids.
Huh?
They've killed kids. Oh,
yes. Yes. Like kids
are responsible probably for more black kid live deaths than the cops, if I had to guess.
Well,
black kids that get killed by cops annually, but Black Lives Matter in three months are putting up good numbers.
Yeah, right. So in the last 3 months, they've been responsible for more black deaths than the cops have. And that's not to justify one or the other. It's all horrible. But what are we talking about? Are we talking about the riots where people are screaming Black Lives Matter? Are we talking about the looting where they're spray painting Black Lives Matter inside of businesses? Are we talking about seizing other people's property in Chaz, or, you know, where they're spray painting Black Lives Matter all over the place? It's pretty fucking vague. Are we talking about, I mean, look, this is the post that I made in the Mises Caucus the other day, is that I was like, I got shit from a couple people, you know, mostly people caught my back in that caucus, which I appreciate, but a few people, and, you know, people of note, like I know Spike Cohen, who's the vice presidential nominee, he was critical of me, and Joshua Smith, who was the Mises Caucus candidate for chair, he was critical of me for a comment that I made about 4 years ago. And what I said was, more or less, but this was the effect of what I said. What I said was, I'm largely sympathetic to the alt-right. I think the left view of you is unfair, as their view of everything is unfair. But they're, you know, if you're in an organization where people are marching around with swastikas on flags or on their bodies, then I'm not going to be a part of what you're a part of. The swastikas represent the Nazis who slaughtered my family. There's something along the lines of that. Now, of course, I was, you know, let's say the first part of that was isolated when I said I'm sympathetic to the alt-right. You know, whatever. It's, you know, so like that was just what was put out there. And I got criticized by a few of these people for it. But the point I was making was that, you know, if Joe Jorgensen had my level of precision and had said what I said, I don't think any of us would have a problem with it. If Joe Jorgensen had said, I'm sympathetic to Black Lives Matter because I think police brutality is an outrage. Police power needs to be reined in, and we can't accept that things like this happen in our society. However, I can't support any organization where people are looting, assaulting people, seizing private property, or are associated with Marxists. I would have given her a standing ovation. I would have actually stood up and cheered if she had said that. I think that would have been an excellent thing to say. You can sympathize with a group of people because of what they're outraged against, you know? And then, you know, for people who are like, well, are you equating the alt-right with the Black Lives Matter? Well, I'm not saying they're the same thing. I mean, clearly there are differences, but what is it really that people hated about the alt-right? It's like, okay, well, there was a bunch of racists associated with them. You know, all right. I mean, are there not racists associated with Black Lives Matter? When you see them saying that white silence is violence. See, here's the fundamental problem with the anti-racist crowd is it's almost impossible to achieve before you just start being racist in the other direction. Like, racism is like this. First off, everybody's a little bit racist. It's probably impossible to be completely, you know, devoid of any like prejudice based on race at all, whether on a subconscious level or consciously. But it's like there's this middle ground where if you get right to the middle ground, then you go, I'm not racist, this theoretical, which I'm not sure anybody really is. And then you go, I'm going to be anti-racist. You pretty much start being racist toward the other side. So, you know, if you were to see a movement, you know, amongst white people where they were asking black people to get on their knees and kiss their feet and apologize for their inherent, you know, sin of being a black person, if they were saying that if black people don't say anything, that's the equivalent of violence, and also somehow that black people should shut the fuck up and listen when white people are talking, everybody would see that as an outrageously racist movement. But you don't have the same outrage when it's on the other side, which is kind of you being racist, not being a very good anti-racist.
I think everybody should be taking upon themselves to work on elevating their melanin levels, because without it, you're a lesser creature, you're closer to the animals. And if you look at the track record of black societies and societies run by, you know, people of high melanin levels, it's clearly apparent. I mean, the evidence of this is overwhelming.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to start actually getting into solutions, yes, we all need to up our melanin levels, but the science just isn't there yet, Rob, unfortunately. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to love Blue Chew. And at bluechew.com, you can get the first performance enhancement for the bedroom that's a chewable. That's BlueChew.com, the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. The chewables from Blue Chew can be taken on a full or empty stomach. The online physician consultant is free, so it's cheaper than those other two. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. So there's no in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. BlueChew gives you confidence in the bed every time. You and your partner will love it. And here's a great deal for you guys. If you visit BlueChew.com, you'll get your first order free when you use the promo code PROBLEM. You just pay $5 shipping, but the order is free at BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show. But anyway, you know, look, I'm sorry. There was the violence that was associated with Charlottesville, and the death that one girl was killed, all of that has been far worse in the riots. So I don't completely, you know, it's really funny because I think part of the reason why I get accused of being a racist or an alt-right sympathizer or something like that, or an alt-right adjacent, whatever the fuck it is that they call me now, I really do think a lot of it is just, you know, after some soul searching and looking in the mirror, it's just that I'm the most consistent motherfucker you know. That's it. This is always why I'm attacked. I'm too consistent. That's my problem, really. I could be a little less consistent. That would solve things. But I'm just saying, I try to judge these things fairly. I go, look, were there a lot of views that I find abhorrent at the Unite the Right rally? Yes. Are there a lot of views that I find abhorrent at the Black Lives Matter rally? Yes. I can stand people having views that I don't like. I will draw the line at actual violence. And there was some violence there, and that's a fucking problem. And there's way more violence over here, and that's a problem. I don't get why. And I remember this was I actually argued with Crystal Ball, who's gone on to be much more interesting and successful since she started that show at The Hill. But I argued with her on Essie Cup Show at one point when I was talking about Antifa. And I called them a borderline terrorist organization. This was back like when they were just going around on college campuses and hitting people with bike locks and storming any, you know, event where they didn't like what the speaker was saying. And I was like, this is like insane. These people show up with hammer and sickle flags. They're like straight up commies and they're acting like it and nobody's talking about it. And I said, you know, we spent all this time talking about the Unite the Right rally, but we don't talk about them. And Crystal Ball spoke for me and she goes, let's just be clear that nobody here is comparing fascism with anti-fascism. And I said, no, I am. I am comparing the people marching with a hammer and sickle to the people marching with swastikas. Yes, I am. I don't know why there is this allergy in our society to comparing communists with Nazis. The communists are evil too. They actually have a much higher death count than the Nazis have. And so I really think it's because nobody fucking, we're really not like trained or propagandized to be as aware of the evil of the communists, but we are of the Nazis. And so even like I go, obviously personally, and in terms of like my family, I have a much more of a reason to hate the Nazis. And I certainly do hate Nazis, but I'm the most consistent motherfucker, you know? So I have to look at this objectively and go, okay, well, yes, I hate them for my reasons, but if you were like a Ukrainian or a Pole, well, I guess the Poles can hate both of them, but if you were one of those people, you'd be like, okay, well, I hate the communists for targeting me. So, like, I don't know. All these, if you are invoking a fucking movement that was, you know, led to, like, genocide and destruction, that's all bad. And we should criticize all of them with the same amount of contempt. So yeah, Joe Jorgensen's follow-up tweet did nothing for me. It did nothing. Oh, it's not the organization. It's just the movement. Well, what parts of the movement exactly? And then I see people bending over backwards to make these excuses where it's like, we don't support the organization because they're Marxists. We don't support the people beating people up, screaming Black Lives Matter. We don't support the people looting, spray painting Black Lives Matter. But when we say we support Black Lives Matter, we just mean the non-Marxist, non-violent people marching in the street upset about the cops. It's like, okay, fine. I guess, but would you really give this
much? Except they give the other people purpose.
Well, right.
They give the other people cover. And at the outset of this, we said, hey, I think you got a broken message here. And the fabric of this message will lead to violence. And guess what? We were right. If you have bad messages that give people a reason to say, hey, I'm in this special group. And because I'm in this special group, I get to go do things that other people can't do because I'm in this special group. This is what's going to happen every time. That's why we said there should be no special group. There should be no one who's given special privilege. Let's figure out how even the cops don't have the power to be in a special group where they can kill people and get away with it.
Yes.
And guess what?
But also, yeah. you would never accept this justification for any other group. So why are you giving it to Black Lives Matter?
Because they're the special group. That's what they're trying to say. Because they're the marginalized one. They get special privilege. And I'm
if I hashtagged Unite the Right, you know, like if I were to say, which, you know, some of these people act like I did, but I would never do something like that. But if I were to say, like, you know, the Bob Murphy gave the example, if you said, you know, we must protect our heritage, hashtag unite the right, hashtag Charlottesville, or something like that. And people would be like, oh my God, you're like supporting this fucking crazy shit. And I'd be like, no. I just mean the nonviolent ones, and I just mean the ones who are just there for the statue. No one would ever allow you to split hairs like this. If I were to say, hashtag blue lives matter, and you were like, but the cops are all violent, I go, no, I just mean the ones who aren't violent and the ones who aren't killing people. It's like, no, I'm sorry. All of this baggage comes along with supporting that movement. And again, I'm just being consistent here. If we're going to say it on one side, we're going to say it on the other side. And truthfully speaking, if I'm being 100% honest, if the Black Lives Matter had a fucking event where they got permission to speak from the city, you know, they got like a permit and they went to have their event and they wanted to spew some Marxist propaganda, you know, like some fucking we should have a communist revolution or whatever the fuck it is that they wanted to talk about. Some shit I disagree with, like profoundly disagree with, but they wanted to talk about that. And then a bunch of right-wing fucking violent counter-protesters showed up and a big fight broke out and one of the fucking Black Lives Matter activists ended up running down some woman in their car and killing the right-wing violent protest group member that came in. My reaction to that would probably be like, all right, this is a nightmare. I don't really like any of these people, but you probably should have just let them have their event. That would be my response in that situation. So again, you can call it fucking racism, but I'm really just trying my best to be fair and treat each side fairly. And that these days is perceived as racism, which is kind of racist. Anyway. It's kind of racist as we found out with Nick Cannon, who you've alluded to several times.
You see this a lot where it's like this idea, the idea that like white people should not be allowed to make decisions anymore, or like that you guys are creating a racist narrative to say that skin color is different, which is the opposite of the approach that you and I take, which is go, power's corruptive, so let's make sure that no one has it. Doesn't matter who has it. It might have historically have been white people who made bad decisions. Guess what? If you put black people in those decisions, women, gays, it doesn't matter. Power's corruptive. But like his thing, which I mean, it sounds like we're going to get into a second. It's like you're now creating a very racist belief to say that there's some sort of an intangible factor because of your skin color that makes you a different human being from us. And in his case, he's saying that it's a more elevated creature. I don't know much about this melanin. I've never heard of it, but it's like, it just seems like such a random thing to point to go, here is the proof that we are elevated from this other group of people.
Well, it's completely, you know, crap pseudoscience. The truth is,
it's the same as that scene in Django Unchained when he goes, listen, they've got the extra bone here, and that's why they're a different breed of human. It's the same exact thing.
Yes,
you're just pointing to some irrelevant thing and going, here's the standard by which I can treat this other group as being animals.
Right. And of course, I mean, which you just hit the nail on the head for. The difference, of course, right, is that Nick Cannon does not have any power over you or me. And that's really, as you pointed out, that's where the evil comes in. It's like, yeah, okay, if you can have these abhorrent views, it doesn't really fucking matter if you don't have the power. If you have the power, then you've got a real problem. And in the Django Unchained situation, you're looking at people who had power over other people and were actually like, you know, using these views to, justify them, you know, abusing people and violating every inch of their natural rights. So that's why it's a more horrible situation. So to me, I go, and this is what I've been tweeting about, in the same way that if you walk by a homeless person and they're saying the most horrific racist shit ever, and you go, oh my God, I'm outraged. That's a stupid reaction. It makes no sense. You should laugh at it or cross the street and go home and enjoy your evening, because that person has no power over you. I think that a Klansman today, a Klansman in 2020, like an actual, you know, wearing a hood, fucking Ku Klux Klan, not just what the left calls anyone they disagree with, should be laughed at. I think a black Israelite should be laughed at. Like, all of this stuff is just ridiculous. However, it's kind of impossible to not call out the hypocrisy and go, wow, I've actually never heard, like, for all the shit that, like, some of these people who I've had on the show or who I've been on their show have gotten, you know, like Nick Fuentes or Stefan Molyneux or Owen Benjamin or something like that, I've never heard them say, like, just imagine if they actually came out and said, I basically think black people are animals and are subhuman and, like, should be fucking, you know what I mean? Like, they're, I mean, it would, I mean, I guess the outrage can't get any further. They basically treat those guys like they say that already, but they don't. They don't say shit like that, at least not that I've ever heard. I mean, I know for sure Steph and Owen don't say that. I don't think Nick Fuentes says shit like that. But, okay. In general, I think this is more the appropriate way to treat them. The other thing that is kind of interesting, if you really want to take Joe Jorgensen literally and say, we must be anti-racist, okay, here's the thing. Nick Cannon said that white people are subhuman and closer to animals. And then he fucked up and said, also Jews. And that's what he got fired over. And that's what all the outrage was about. People really just took the shit about white people like it's fine. See, here's the thing. If you really want to be anti-racist, then you would have to acknowledge that there is, at least in terms of, since everybody's so obsessed with speech crimes, with saying the wrong thing, rather than, you know, actual devastating situations that people are living in, which is what we should be focused on. But if you're talking about rhetoric, well, then there's kind of one racial group in America who you're allowed to just say the shittiest things about with no repercussions, and that's white people. And so if you want to be anti-racist, shouldn't you also stand up against that? See, I could take this message of anti-racism a little bit more seriously. I'd probably still think it was kind of stupid, but I could take it a little bit more seriously if I'd actually hear the LP candidate stand up and say, hey, you know what? This whole culture of where you're just like white people are the punching bag and you're allowed to say whatever you want against them, it's really wrong. And we should stand up and say something when we see people talking about, you know, like how evil white people are, or white people are the problem. White silence is violence. White people need to shut up and let people of color have the platform. All this stuff. This is racist. And so I'm against that. Okay. If you stood up and said that, if you stood up and said, hey, affirmative action basically says that the only racial group you're legally allowed to discriminate against are white people. And that's racist and that's wrong. If they ever stood up and said that, then at least I would say, you know what? They have a leg to stand on this idea that it's not enough to not be racist. If you see racism anywhere, you have to criticize it. Okay. But they never say anything about that. Anything at all. All right. And so then I'm sorry, if you do that, maybe that's why we think that this is bullshit and you're just pandering and you don't actually mean what you're saying. That being said, my tweet, if I was to tweet about that, I would say, no, being not racist is fine. Don't be a dick to people. Don't judge people by their racial group and be a good person. That's fine. And there would be no, we must, because truthfully speaking, as a libertarian, you don't have to be a good person. Also, well, you have to not initiate violence. Hey guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Yo Kratom. If you're a fan of Kratom and you're over the age of 21, check out YoKratom.com. We just celebrated the 4th of July, and there's no better way to celebrate your freedom than going to YoKratom.com and getting yourself a $60 kilo. That's the world's best value in Kratom, shipped right to your door, no questions asked. Now, if you've never heard of Kratom before, just ignore this. We're talking to you, the people who are a fan of Kratom. But if you're currently a fan of Kratom, celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. YoKratom.com is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly at wholesale prices. This is quality Kratom. We've heard feedback from fans. They've confirmed it's solid. And like I said, this is the only place where you'll find kilos for $60. Last time, that's YoKratom.com. Get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show.
This is also the bullshit of, yeah, I am anti-racist, 100%. In the same way, men and women should be treated equal, so I guess I'm a feminist. But we know that that's not what you're describing. You're yes. playing these legal games where you're trying to get me to swear allegiances to things that I don't believe in, which is that we have to actually actively suppress free speech or people questioning systems, which is detrimental to society. And that's the yes. aggravating part. You're playing these mental gymnastics where it's like, we got to bend the knee to you. You're going to be the arbitrator about what I can and can't say. And if I'm not swearing allegiances, and then who gets to define what anti-racist is? I'm anti-racist. Right, well, like, I hate racists. I'm not pro. Yeah.
Exactly. There's context to all of these different, you know, claims and or all of these different, you know, sayings. And if you were to just say, like, if the libertarian nominee tweeted out to each according to their ability, to each according to their needs, or from each according to their ability, to each according to their needs, we'd be like, holy shit, she's quoting Marx. And then she was like, no, I'm just saying, like, voluntarily, you know, I think that everybody should do this, and it'd be nice. You're like, okay, but that means something. Like, that's going to obviously give people the impression that you're with this group who is kind of against what we stand for. So that's kind of the issue there.
How about now, this? I'm against black teenage death, and so as a result, I speak out against Black Lives Matters.
Right. You know, you could also go that direction. So this was reported on. There's a new Jo Jorgensen clip that's going around. And I'm sorry. I know people who want me to stop bashing her, but I'm not going to ignore things like this. I don't see that as helpful, and it's not what I want to do. So I'm not going
to
do it.
And she can be less annoying. She can do that. You know, it takes two to tango. We're trying to be in a relationship here.
Well, look, I want to be fair to her in this clip, but this was reported on the Ron Paul forum or one of his websites, and then it's been shared around a bunch on social media. And I wanted to play this clip and just quickly kind of respond to it, because this is another one of these things where it just kind of gives an impression that might be a little troubling. So let's listen to Jo Jorgensen. This is about a two-minute clip. I want to play the whole thing, and then we'll respond.
And this will give you an example of just how deep the problem is. We've all heard the story of Rosa Parks, about she was a heroic black woman who refused to sit in the back of the bus. And what a lot of people don't realize is that that was a government-owned, government-run bus. And the only way that racism was able to go on for so long was the government was putting it into place. And you look, 60% of the bus ridership back then was black. So look at today. Let's say Uber discriminated against 60% of their customers, the best 60% of the customers they had. They would go out of business, as well they should. However, the government doesn't go out of business. They can discriminate all they want, and they just keep raising taxes. So first of all, private companies cannot discriminate as easily and as get off as scot-free as the federal government. And we've seen that, we now see that today. There was a woman who, on her private Facebook, this was highly publicized, her private Facebook put All Lives Matter. And the company fired her. And what I'd like to make note of, she wasn't talking to or wasn't treating a coworker, an employee, a customer, a client, anybody like that. And this was her private Facebook, not the company Facebook. And yet the company said, okay, we don't tolerate that. So again, I see a bigger backlash with private companies. And again, my example of Walt Disney World, how they treated gays better in the early 90s than the federal government did 20 years later. So there's a profit motive to treat people well.
All right.
Wait, let me try to be
fair to her here, all right? Because she is making, at the beginning, a really good point, like a really fair point about the shit with Rosa Parks and how 60% of the customer base were black. And of course, under market conditions, you'd be much less likely to be really shitty to the majority of your customers. And so markets are going to be better than the government would at addressing, you know, the needs. But then she throws in this story, this horrible story about a woman being fired for saying All Lives Matter on her Facebook page, not to a coworker, not to all of this. And she throws that in there and seems to be approving of this and saying that this is a great example of how people, you know, ironically, don't discriminate and treat people well. Well, obviously, this is an example of discrimination and of treating someone not very well. Now, of course, when you use the phrase "all lives matter," no one's going to say if you disagree with that. Like, because I've gotten, you know, this response from some idiot libertarians who are like, "Well, if you had a problem with Jo Jorgensen's tweet, maybe it's because you're racist." Like, nobody's going to say if you have a problem with "all lives matter," maybe that's because you hate humans, right? There's a context to All Lives Matter. It is a response to Black Lives Matter. No question about that. And I'm not advocating, like, libertarians are together that they're, a company has a right to fire somebody. That's the libertarian position, right? That you should. But are we going to say that's a good thing, that a company is firing someone? Like, you want to see someone lose their livelihood over a political view that is just saying all lives matter? I mean, I
should be considered discrimination. That should be considered political view discrimination. And in that case, like, you're not. I take that one personally, because if you can't say that and have a job, then I can't have a job somewhere. And I've done research on, hey, what are some good ideas to, like, benefit people and make the world a better place? And just to be treated as evil it's dismissive and it's insane. And culturally, that is the ultimate suppression of ideas and free speech. And that's what we need to be speaking out against. That is the most dangerous perspective that can exist. And I don't know, then, like, Joe Jurgensen, we really got to walk away from this completely. I'm saying that's as negative as you can be. She's supporting that a company fired somebody for saying all lives matter, which firstly is a reasonable perspective. And secondly, you should be allowed to have political opinions on your Facebook.
Well, look, I'll say this, okay? I am a believer in freedom of association, and I would not support laws saying that companies have to fire somebody. But, or if that companies can't fire somebody for their views. However, to praise this as an example of the market working well is, like, it's baffling. It's baffling that you would look at this and say, oh yeah, this is, you know, well, here's this Rosa Parks example. And now here's an example of some woman being fired for the crime of saying all lives matter. I mean, she wasn't even fired for, like, saying some blatantly racist shit. And she didn't tweet it, as Joe Jorgensen points out, she didn't tweet it at a company page or at a coworker or something like that. It was just her own thoughts and her own. I mean, that's a horrible thing. And I would say this for I don't think people should be fired for tweeting Black Lives Matter. I don't think people should be fired for tweeting that they're a Marxist. I don't know. I just don't want to see people lose their fucking jobs over having a different political view. So it's very weird to be praising this. And I got to say, it really shows, just like the tweet did, it shows this kind of lack of awareness about the cultural landscape, like the moment that we're living in, that you would just think, it's like there are people out there whose lives are being ruined for not having the left-wing orthodox political views. And absolutely libertarians should not be cheering this on. Now, here's the thing that really bugged me, and Malice tweeted this, and I actually didn't see this until he tweeted it out. But
Jojo the Clown.
Well, here's the thing that really makes it worse, right? Now, I could understand just being like, hey, libertarian, it's a completely legitimate libertarian argument to say that I believe in freedom of association. And so, you know, I may not like people being fired for this, but look, a company does have a right to hire or fire whoever they want, in the same way that you could quit your job if your boss, you know, says all lives matter, or you could quit your job if your boss says Black Lives Matter. He can fire you for saying it if he doesn't like it. I don't love that they would do that. I think it's a tool that should be used appropriately. That's what I would like to see. But I'm fine with saying, and in fact, I believe that the government shouldn't intervene in this. I think that would be like, you know, if you found someone actually saying something horrifically racist. You know, if someone was like, I think we should lynch all the blacks in this country, and you fired them for that, I would understand that. You know what I mean? I don't think all lives matter rises to the level that someone should be fired for. However, on Joe Jorgensen's website, she has a question and answer segment where she's asked, question, should gender identity be added to the anti-discrimination laws? Joe Jorgensen says yes. So Joe Jorgensen is actually okay with, given the fact that we have these laws about what you're allowed and not allowed to discriminate based on, she's okay with adding gender identity into that list. So you can't be fired for being trans, but you can be fired for having the wrong political opinion. That, to me, is really just outrageous hypocrisy. Just outrageous. Either we should have freedom of association, which is what I prefer, we should have freedom of association, or if we're going to say you can't be fired for being black, gay, trans, all these other lists of things, then in that scenario, then we should add your politics as well. You shouldn't be able to be fired. If we're going to be in this world, it is, I do not understand how you can say, I don't support freedom of association. I support there being this list of things that you can't be fired for, but something as benign as tweeting all lives matter, that you can be fired for. That to me is like, that's a real fucking problem. And I don't know. I'm trying to be, you know, fair to her here, because I did think half of what she was saying was a good point. But what a stupid example to use of how the market works well. Yeah, the market works a lot better than the government does, but you just found an example of a really horrible thing. And seemingly, I mean, she didn't directly say the words, "I think this is great," but I don't know how you could listen to that and not get the impression that she's saying, look how good the market is at treating people fairly. All right.
I hate it. I actively oppose. I'm not just not supporting. I actively oppose. That's where I'm coming out.
All right.
In fact, it's going to make me question female leadership altogether. That's how bad this is.
Oh my God, Rob. I'll be honest. It didn't take much. Rob was already right at the edge. He was looking for an excuse. All right. Well, listen, that's our episode for today. We'll see you guys soon. Oh, I should mention that, by the way, in saying this, when I posted this in the Mises Caucus group, that Spike Cohen did say he's happy to come on the show and talk about it. I told him I'm happy to have him on, and he messaged me. So I will respond to that, and we'll get Spike on the show, and we could talk about all this stuff with him. I'm quite happy to. I know a lot of really good people who have told me great things about Spike, so I'm happy to have him on the show, and we can get into some of this stuff. So I'm, you know, I'll remain open-minded and fair, but I'm not going to bite my tongue for any party.
That presidential run really killed the spirits of Justin Amash. I feel like it broke him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll rise again as well, just like the Meacocks. We'll see. All right. Yeah. That's all right. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you soon. Peace.